Welcome back to Community Connections. And as we're going to do, every hour we've changed our themes along the line. We start off with Sonia down at the Woori Community House, and we've just had Philip from Hutchison Legal in it. Now, but this lady is, I believe, is going to be a presenter on Yarra Valley FM 99.1. So over the few years that I've been doing this job, I've generally had one of the presenters in to let you know a bit about them, not only about their show, but about their what leads them to come here to Yarra Valley FM. So it's my pleasure to be talking to Helen Taylor. How are you, Helen?
I'm really good, Alan. Thank you for having me. I've been thrown in the deep end and I'm happy to do it.
No worries. Look, the first thing I've got to ask you is what made you decide you wanted to get involved with radio?
Well, I did some public speaking a few years ago, which I really enjoyed, believe it or not. Yep. And from that, then I wrote a book and published a book. And out of those two journeys, I just really started enjoying sharing my story and encouraging people. And that's why I wanted to do radio.
Well, first of all, let me ask you, what sort of book you... Well, no, we'll go back one step even further back than that. What made you decide you wanted to write a book?
It was just like a natural progression, I think. You know, it's about working on yourself and getting a little deeper understanding of yourself. And I've worked on myself for a lot of years with personal development and things. And then I realised just the next level of life is letting your story out into the world.
All right, so when you wrote your book, I've spoken to one or two authors and it intrigues me. Did you start off and write the book just straight through? Did you start and stop maybe over a couple of years? Like, how did you actually do the mechanics? Did you get up this morning at 8 o'clock or 7 o'clock and start writing?
Well, I wasn't that disciplined.
Well...
But I did a little 2-hour seminar online, and at the end, and it was with some people that help people write and publish books. And right. At the end of those 2 hours, I knew I was going to write a book about my life. Up until that point, I figured I was going to write inspirational quotes and share all those things. I think I was avoiding getting really personal about it, you know?
That was going to be my next question. What sort of book did you write? Is it your life story?
It's my life story, yeah.
And how difficult did you have to get it published?
I worked with a group that do everything for you.
Right.
Yeah, they support you through the whole writing journey, editing journey, publishing journey. So I think the hardest thing is that as you're writing it, you're stepping into new territory. And any time you're stepping into new territory, you meet resistance, right? Yep. And I'm smart enough to know that resistance is always myself.
Yep.
It's always me. So that was the hardest thing to navigate more than anything else.
So how often did you write?
It started off, I had a bunch of journals that I kept years ago.
Yep.
It started off, I really had to, writing about my own life, I had to get a sequence of where I was living, what I was doing. That gave me then a bit of an outline of things. Yep. And then, ideally for your book, you want 12 chapters. So I had to look at, well, what's each chapter going to be about?
Yep.
And one of the craziest things I did was getting a big pack of post-it notes.
Yep.
And the whole wall of my hallway, I did a post-it note for each chapter, and then each day as I'd think about new topics that went with that chapter, I'd stick more post-it notes. By the time I'd finished after a few months, my whole wall was covered in coloured post-it notes.
All right. Let me just ask you, how personal did you get? Like, were there things that you thought, no, I better not put that in a book? Because bear in mind, your family are going to read it and your friends are going to read it. So how deeply did you go into your life?
Well, it's a really, really good question, because there was one part of my childhood I'd come to terms with myself, and I felt that I didn't need to disclose that at all.
Yep.
But as I was writing the book and I was writing about a trip to America with my fiancé at the time, and an episode of what happened there that was pretty awful, I realised that the way I reacted to that episode, if I didn't tell people what happened when I was a child, they would wonder why I behaved the way I did as a 20-something-year-old.
Yep.
And that's when I realised that I needed to disclose things that I had come to terms with. But I suppose I was a little concerned because they were to do with my dad, and I, and he's passed away, and I wanted to have a good memory and a good record of him. I didn't want to, put things out there to get people offside and whatever. But I did it. I did it. I wrote about it, and I wrote about it in such a constructive and such a positive way. It worked really well.
Just got to take a quick break, and we'll be back with more.
Goodbye, Norma Jean. No, I never knew you at all. You had the grace to hold yourself with those around you crawl. They crawled out of the woodwork and they whispered into your brain. They set you on the treadmill and they made you change your name.
Talking to Helen Taylor. Now, Helen's going to present a show here fairly soon, I believe, but we'll talk about that very soon. But I'm a bit intrigued about this when people tell me they wrote a book. Helen, you said that in one of the things that you discussed that you didn't want to talk about in your childhood, and then you found that if you didn't mention that in the book, then the next part, when you're in your 20s, didn't make a lot of sense. Was there anything, and I don't want to know what it was, I'm not delving into your personal life, was there anything that was just too hurtful where you said, I just can't write that?
That's a good question, Alan.
I try to come up with some good ones.
Yeah, you do, you do. So that's the event I was referring to. Yep. It wasn't about it being hurtful. It wasn't about it. I'd come to terms and I'd found peace with what the situation was. Right. And I just wanted to respect my father, yep, basically.
But did you find anything else in your life that you thought, it's just too hurtful to put that in a book?
No. No, I'd really done a lot of insightful work with myself. But yep, what I will say is that for the 2 months when I was seriously writing the book, I lived with this constant anxiety the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
I went to sleep with it. I woke up with it. It's just like this awful feeling in my stomach that would not go away. And the crazy thing about it is when I finished writing the book and it went to edit, that feeling went away.
Did it?
I don't know what the hell that was. I really don't.
You just put yourself under pressure.
It was like just this constant little motor just saying, I'm relentless. I'm not letting you go till you finish this job.
Well, and that obviously drove you on. But, Helen, also, was there anything that when you wrote your book and you'd finished the book and you got it either published or you got it to the publisher and they're working on it, where you thought to yourself, I know myself a bit better because I wrote that book?
Yes. Yes, definitely. Completing it, it was more about the editor. It went to the editor and she had to read through it and then report back.
Yep.
And I opened up that document that was emailed to me with great trepidation.
I'll bet, yep.
And she said, what a beautiful book. The world needs to hear this story. And I just cried. I just cried because that was the first person outside of myself who had read that book. And it was such beautiful feedback.
Let me ask you this. Obviously, you've got family. They obviously read it. Did anyone come back and said, oh, no, you shouldn't have put this in or you shouldn't have put that in? Or did everybody was supportive?
Before it was published, the publishing people I worked with said, you know, you really need to look at, like I put an article in there, an article that went into the Deniliquin Times years ago.
Right.
And they said you needed to work on getting permission. Well, when I rang the Deniliquin Times, they're country people. They don't really get too concerned about permission and things. They were like, what are you ringing us for? And I went, well, I'm doing the courtesy, so that was fine. But they also, the publishers encourage you to look at people that are in the book as well. Is there anyone that you need to have a conversation with to let them know that you've disclosed some things? And my ex-husband was in there. Yeah. So
that, you know, could have gone good or bad.
Well, I wasn't too sure. I nervously made a phone call because I know, you know, where he is and what he's doing, but we don't have an ongoing relationship.
Right.
And he just said to me, Helen, you've got my blessings. You got my blessings. Like, you know, we all did it. Both of us did stuff back then and, you know, I'm happy.
Well, obviously, and again, I don't want to get into your personal life, but obviously you've both moved on. So as long as you weren't slating him, I guess, it's probably not part of his life anymore.
Absolutely. And look, that's part of what I was proud about is that I told a story.
Yep.
Each chapter was different stories of my life.
Yep.
I told the story cleanly and succinctly, and it was more just to matter of fact. It was emotional to a certain degree, but it wasn't about bagging everybody in my life. It was just about telling the reality of things that happened.
And that's a fair comment too. I mean, I guess no one's going to buy a book if it's just slagging off at the family, is it? No one's ever going to buy it.
Yeah, and to me, my whole life's been about growth, right?
Yep.
Learning and growth, and that's what I wanted the book to do for others as well.
All right, so now we'll get off the book because that's not why we really came, but it just intrigues me with authors as to how disciplined you've got to be. I know you said that you weren't disciplined enough to get up every day and write, but some do, some write for hours, some write just a couple of hours a day. Did you ever find when you're in, I'll say particularly in bed at night, But it could be when you're sitting having a coffee or something where all of a sudden you got a bit of inspiration and thought, yeah, I hadn't actually thought of that. I better look at that as to whether to put that in the book, or was it not quite so emotional? It was more just set out as your life.
That's to the point. That's what it was about. Yeah. There were times when I was quiet that I would get insight, and that became another post-it note that went up on the wall, right? But, you know, I also learned how to start writing a chapter and then deleting it and rewriting it again. There was something really quite cathartic in doing that. And having said that, with the publishing group I was with, we had what they call a retreat weekend, or 3 days, where for 48 hours essentially you work with a group and you smash out 10,000 words, right?
Yeah.
So that was, and I had pre-prepared for that. That's part of the journey. And after day two of doing that, I came home and found that my computer crashed and I had not backed anything up. So I got up out of my chair and I went outside and I went for a walk.
And then cried as you walked?
No, I wasn't coming back to home until I got myself to a point where I could live with losing it or not losing it.
All right.
Right? It's like, what was I going to do, you know? So by the time I got back home after my long walk, I had got to the point where, look, hey, if I've lost that, I'm going to have to start again, and I'm okay with that. But then when I put the computer into the computer people, I mean, there was a few funky things happening with the computer, but they actually recovered it.
Gee, lucky. I know, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back with more.
Thousand times and back again. I love you, babe.
And that was Tina Arena with Chains. And the reason I put that in, I was reading in the paper the other day, she apparently there were a couple having a bit of a punch-up and yelling and screaming during a concert. So she stopped the concert and told them until they got out she wouldn't continue on. So apparently the security and everybody cheered what Tina Arena did. They weren't annoyed at her. They were annoyed at these other people and... So security threw them out and then Tina Arena started the show again. Anyway, I'm talking to Helen Taylor and we've been talking a lot about a book that she wrote, which I didn't know anything about. In fact, I don't know much about Helen, so we're going to find out a bit more about Helen. She's got a book that's written. She'll probably tell you about where you can get that before we go. But the reason that I really wanted to talk to Helen is she's going to do a show in Yarra Valley. So let me just ask you a bit about the show you plan to do, please, Helen.
Sure. Well, that's another journey because I didn't know. I mean, I knew I wanted to talk on radio, but I had no idea what it was about.
Yep.
I went and I did just some training and got some insight into it.
Yep.
And now as you and I are having this conversation here, I'm just starting to figure out just I want a show that is inspiring. I've learned so much in the last 60-plus years of my life, and I call that wisdom. When it's been experience, it becomes wisdom. And I want to share with other people how I got to a place of thinking better and living better and having better relationships and connections and things.
Can I just ask you there, that how did you get that wisdom? Was it, did you self-learning or were you involved in groups that did this or what?
Certainly self-learning. Yeah. I mean, my whole life I've been questioning and challenging things.
Yeah.
And I call myself the experiment. I am the experiment. So, you know, if I'm going to share something with somebody, I have to have experienced it.
Right.
Yeah.
So are we talking about, can I just ask you this? I don't like to cut across you, but are we talking about like mental health ideas, or are we talking about physical, such as keeping fit? In which way do you want to inspire people?
All of it.
That's a pretty easy question.
All of it. Yeah, because you know, I've done personal development courses and work on myself and things, but as you'll find out from reading the book, I revisited. All of the experiences in my life. I looked at them from a different angle.
With an older age.
A more mature outlook.
That's the word I wanted, mature.
Absolutely, right? Yeah. And, you know, I realise that there's cycles in our lives and when we join the dots for different things that happen in our lives, it just becomes an inner peace, I suppose. And the more peace I started finding with everything that had happened in my life, instead of saying, why did that happen to me? And, you know, what did I do wrong? Or blaming others or whatever. As soon as I made some peace out of it, I just got a better and better life.
All right. Let me just ask you this. And again, I don't want to delve into your own private life, but when you were doing a job, like after you left school, uni or wherever you went, what sort of positions did you hold? Like, have they always been in self-help organisations or was something else completely altogether?
Yeah, well, I left school wanting to be a hairdresser because at 13, my auntie, oh, my gosh, she had her own salon and I just loved her and I wanted to be her.
Yeah.
But it didn't work. It didn't work for me. So I ended up in law. I fell into it, really.
Right.
Fell into law and predominantly have worked in the legal field.
As a lawyer or in personal assistant and all that?
As a law clerk, yeah.
Oh, right. So you know a fair bit about the law too.
I know a bit about this and a bit about that.
So that leads into this question about your self-development. You've actually gone off and made a decision because obviously if you're working during the week in the law, it's not as though you've been involved with the wellness industry or anything like that, is it? It's something that you yourself have decided, I need to work on this.
Well, I worked in the law for years and years and then sort of set off on another path and became a massage therapist.
Oh, did you?
I went from law to massage. Crazy,
that's a big deal,
right?
Isn't
crazy.
It?
Well, everyone thought I was a nut. They really did, yeah. But, you know, somebody massaged my feet at one point and I went, oh, my gosh, like, what is this? what is this? It feels fabulous, you know?
Yeah.
And she'd sparked something in me, I think. So, yeah, it wasn't at the time, but years later, I started looking at, you know, the other side of life, more things in life. Yeah.
So is that the job that you kept right up until now, or have you made another change along the line?
Well, I kind of TikToked a bit. I did massage, and that involved spiritual work, you know, that kind of path, starting finding out about crystals and tarot and all those sorts of things. Yep. And that just opened up a new world. So, yes, I started working and having my own business, massaging and things like that. I also did a diploma in counselling, and I started working with people one-on-one.
Gee, you've had a variety of different areas, isn't it? Not so much a variety of jobs, but you've covered a lot of different areas.
I've reinvented myself every 7 years of my life is what I figured out.
Pretty often.
Yes.
All right, we'll take one more quick break and we'll be back to talk to Helen more about what she's going to do at Yarra Valley FM. Now, Helen, we've talked, you're listening to Yarra Valley FM 99.1, the voice of the valley, where it's 14 minutes to three. Can't believe how quick the 3 hours go. I'll be back on Sunday night between 6 and 8 with a rock and roll hit parade. Plenty of the 60s. Love that night. And I'll be back next Wednesday. I know we've got 3 hours of interviews. I should have made a list of them, but they're definitely coming in. I'm trying to think who they are. But anyway, let's not worry about that. So I'll be here next Wednesday between 12 and 3. But I'm talking to Helen, and Helen's going to put a show together, and she's going to be heard on Yarra Valley. Helen, do you know what time or when it's going to be yet?
Yeah, I spoke with Greg, and I'll be doing Mondays from 3 to 4.
Mondays 3 to 4.
Yeah.
Now, have you got some guests lined up?
Yep. I've got ideas.
Have you?
I've haven't, got ideas.
Let me ask you, when do you start?
I don't know. I've as of today, it's the first time into the studio.
Yep.
And I'm going to observe and learn. And as soon as I feel confident with that, I'll be giving the green light and saying I'm starting next Monday.
None of us started off that confident to start with. Confidence comes as we go along. And probably a bit like you were saying before about knowing ourselves and what we can do and what we can't do.
Yeah.
So let me just ask you, what sort of guests, I mean, I know you want to talk about the things you've talked about, but what type of guests would you be looking for?
Well, I'm looking for ordinary people. I want to have people on as guests to tell their story of, you know, change or inspiration, something significant that's happened in their lives and how they handled it, because that's what my book's about.
Yep.
And that's what I want to share with the world.
Let's just stop there for a minute. We've talked about this book quite a bit. What's the name of it?
My Return to Love.
My Return to Love.
Yes.
So is there a connotation in that, the love, Pete? Or is that just what?
Yes.
Is that loving yourself?
My journey from brokenness, the depths of brokenness, to the heights of self-love.
So at some stage, and I don't want to go into this because I don't want to upset you, at some stage, you were really low, like something went really bad in your life?
Oh, you bet. You bet. I had a nervous breakdown. Let me just give you a snippet, right?
Yep.
I was nearly killed by my partner, not my husband, but my partner. I had hands around my throat and had taken my last breath. I've been a drug addict and a drug dealer. I've worked in a brothel as a receptionist, and I always told everybody that was like, I'm the receptionist, until I realised that everyone in the brothel called themselves the receptionist.
Oh, no one calls themselves a prostitute. All the madams.
Everyone was the receptionist. You know, I've done so many different things and, you know, and overcome them. So I want a show that's inspiring, that can help people. How do you think better? How do you live better? You know.
Now, you've intrigued me on a couple of things. I'd actually like to do a story on your life, actually, parts of that. But you said you're a drug addict. How low did you go before you realised, I've got to stop this?
Well, that was one of the kind of pivotal points in writing the book as well, because I'd told people many times that I'd been a drug addict and a drug dealer, but I never put it together with that I had three young children at the same time, because I was so ashamed of having to say that out loud. But now that it's in the book, I'm quite confident with saying it out loud, because there was
a journey. So let me ask you, how did your children, or had you already told them about being a drug addict? And how did your children react when they saw it in writing?
So, yes, I had. There'd been, you know, various times throughout there as they got older that they knew some of the stories and things.
Yep.
But, you know, one of them was still quite shocked by my book.
Yep.
One of them, you know, was really quite accepting and saying, well, it's your story, Mum, like, you know. But,
and don't gild it. I mean, you've obviously done a real soul-searching book.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And the other, and one, does the other one now accept it or still?
His school's still out there. Yes, he's still processing. Yeah.
And that's fair enough. And there was something else you said you did. I know you'd worked in the brothel. I don't want to go in there too deep. Why did you work in a place like that?
Well, because, you know, at the time I was married and yep. he was working during the day and I was looking after three young kids and I was running some conveyancing from home as well, but I was bored. So, an old school friend owned the brothel and said, we need a receptionist. Do you want to come in? And I'm like, that made sense because then the hubby would be yep. home to look after the kids and I would work at night.
How'd your husband feel about you working a brothel?
Well, the thing is, right, it wasn't until I was writing the book that I thought, why did he let me?
I can imagine that. You must have had some some weird, wonderful stories out of that place.
That could be a whole show.
I've never been there and don't want to go, but I can imagine there'd be some terrible stuff. So, we still didn't get to the stage of what. Someday, did you wake up and say, "I need to stop doing drugs," or did something bad in your life happen? You thought, I've got to get off this.
Absolutely. I was in a domestic violent relationship. It was post my marriage breaking up.
Right.
And that guy, I woke up one day thinking, I'm an educated, middle-classed,
yep.
Smart woman.
Yep.
How the hell can't I get out of this situation?
Yeah, why am I here?
Fear was just so huge.
Fear for you or fear for the children?
Everything. It paralysed me. It made it so hard for me to think of how to get out.
Yeah.
And it took him putting those hands around my throat. I weighed 50 kilos at the time. It was nothing to me. He picked me up and I knew I'd taken my last breath. And I really said to myself, if he lets me go, I'll do whatever it takes. And I stopped drugs overnight.
Did you? That's terrific. Look, that's a very inspirational story. I'd like to have a whole lot more to talk about that, more time to talk about that, but we are fast running out of time. And I should mention, straight after 3 o'clock news, Greg will be here with the Oz Indie Show. Always a great show. All releases that have only been released this week, mainly. So, and they're all Australian, so it's a terrific show to listen to. So, Helen, was it a hard track? Like, did you lose, first of all, self-respect? Now, I don't want to go into this drugs a bit, but you've said it's in your book. Did you lose self-respect yourself and others around you? And how hard was it to get that self-respect back?
I lost everyone around me.
Did you?
When I started going out with this man, my father told everyone to have nothing to do with me. Absolutely.
It's hard.
And my ex-husband's family did the same thing, so I was totally on my own.
And under his control.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
Self-respect, I didn't even consider it.
Didn't you?
Well, I figured that, the only reason that I got out of it was for my children. It wasn't for me. I wasn't worth it, but they certainly were worth it, yeah.
I'd love to have more time to talk to you about that because it'd be a fascinating story and there must be people out there today listening who could be involved themselves or could have friends and relatives because it's very draining on a family. So obviously, I don't know how to approach this because I don't like to intrude, but obviously when you got involved with this person and your father's saying, don't get involved don't get involved. So they must have known that he wasn't a really nice person.
Yeah. Yeah, he was one of the bad boys.
And you couldn't see it.
I loved him. I couldn't see past it.
Couldn't you?
It enveloped me. It had a hold of me. And actually, the book goes into it. I had no idea there was something called karma in this world. I had no idea there was anything to do with that spiritual side of things. And it launched me into learning a hell of a lot about the powerfulness of karmic links and connections with people. Because, in this life I was getting a gun license and I just figured that it was, just to play around. But I actually did some hypnotherapy and found that he and I had known each other in a past life and I shot him to death.
you probably want to do in this day, in this life as well.
Well, I think I was getting ready to do it, right? And that's what was really quite liberating and scary, to think how many people have killed someone or shot someone or, you know, done something to someone, and it may have been the remnants of something else that had happened. I don't know.
Look, Helen, I think you've been very brave to talk about this. When we started this interview, I had no idea that we were going to wind up talking about half the subjects we have. I thought we were just going to talk about your new show. But now, if we've got people listening today, if they want to buy this book, how are they going to find out more about it?
They can go onto my website, helentaylor.com.au. There's three doors. Click on the red door. The red door is about the book.
HelenTaylor.com.au. I've got to ask you, why are there three doors?
Oh, because one is about some public speaking that I did a few years ago many groups. If they click on the green door, there's a recording of my public speaking.
Right.
And the blue door is some healing classes that I work with. So, I just, my gorgeous website designer categorised them all under doors.
Sounds good to me.
Yes.
Helen, look, unfortunately, I've got to go. I'd love to have had another hour to talk to you, particularly on other issues, but we're also part of my charter here. I don't like to delve into people's past, but you've been very open with us and told us about it, and I guess once it's in the book. But look, I'm really grateful for you spending time with us, and I wish you well, and I hope your show's a success.
Thank you so much, Alan. It's been a pleasure.
Time for me to go, and I'll be talking to you next week.